Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope, insight, humor, and relevance. In today's lost and searching world, that's something everyone desperately needs to hear. Speaking of that, we'd love to keep this conversation going with you anytime through our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, there's so many ways to connect with us from there that you really need to check it out for yourself, richardellistalks.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Pay Dirt. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, let's jump in at verse 1. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. So he's out there on the shore, so many people, throngs, these multitudes show up, that he literally can't be on the shore. He gets in a boat, sits down, and teaches them from the boat. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. And you say, well, we don't have that anymore. Well, yeah, we kind of do. We just don't see it every day. But if you can imagine a guy with kind of a bag of seed, he goes out and kind of broadcasts that seed. He throws it out there on the ground. That's the imagery. Throwing seed out there. Plant, you say, it's not planting, it's sowing seed. But if you've ever done that in your yard or the grass, you know it can take and something can come of that. So he's talking in parables. Behold, a sower went out to sow. As he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So you don't have four seeds here. It's all the same seed. You don't have four sowers here. It's all the same sower. What you have is four soils. You have different ground on which the seed falls. You are a certain kind of ground. And hopefully when we're done, this will be encouraging. And if not, you'll see maybe what might need to change and what's been going on with you. One of the frustrating things for anyone is to have something going on and you don't know why it's happening. For instance, if you ever get sick physically and they can't identify what that is, I've been there, they didn't know what it was, it'll drive you nuts because you're like, I'm okay with feeling bad if you could just tell me why I feel bad. So spiritually, you may have stuff going on that has severe consequence and you just literally don't know why it's not working. And maybe after today, this will make a little more sense. So he tells this story and that's the story. So you go, well, who could, you can figure it out practically, like, okay, some seed fell there and that's what happened. But what is he trying to say? And let me remind you of this. If you go to the scriptures and say, for instance, I'm going to read my Bible today and, you know, I'm supposed to read my Bible, so I'll read it and I'll get some information and that's that. You cannot bring God's word to life without God's spirit, without God. Anybody can read the Bible, but it's two-dimensional. It's just words on a page. The Spirit of God can raise those words kind of from the dead and bring them to life. So don't be cocky even in reading the scripture. You kind of have to go to it and say, God, I can't make sense of this. I can't make this thing make sense apart from the Spirit of God. He's the one that wrote it. If you're a Christian, he lives in you. He can reveal it to you. Look at verse 9. So he tells this story. Then he says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. So everybody checks for ears and go, okay, I got ears. I still don't get it. And the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? Why do you keep telling these crazy little stories? Why don't you just spit it out? Look what he says. He answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. You say, well, this is not even fair. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. Now go to Isaiah chapter 6, and I want you to see this over there as well. Because Jesus is quoting the Old Testament. I think it is a misnomer. People say, well, Jesus was God and he knew the scriptures and he could, you know, he wrote them so he knew them. Everybody, including Jesus, was born and starts from scratch. Nobody knows anything when they're born. They're just born. So all the accumulative knowledge that has existed until the moment you're born, let's say a kid's born today, whatever they're going to move forward with, they have to gather the information that exists and then build on that. So you have to be seemingly more brilliant all the time just to keep up with the torrent of information, if nothing else, just stuff that's been discovered. So you say, well, but Jesus was God, he had an advantage. Part of the reason I believe it took till he was 30 is that he didn't just sit on his butt waiting for the time to come and go, okay, I guess it's time to start. You can't quote scripture unless you know scripture. You say, well, I thought it was just gonna magically come out of my mouth. If you don't have it in your heart, it is not going to come out of your mouth. Now you say, well, couldn't God do that miraculously? Yes, but he didn't even do that with Jesus. Jesus knew the scriptures because Jesus studied the scriptures. He was a little Jewish kid. That was part of the deal, but I think it went way past that. When he kicked in at 30 doing his earthly ministry, he was prepared. And part of what you have to do is be prepared. God doesn't just randomly use something. I mean, he might randomly use someone, but isn't it astonishing how people that prepare sometimes end up being the ones that get picked? So he quotes Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9, and he said, go tell this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return and be healed. Now, believe it or not, one of the biggest pieces of this thing that he quotes is the understanding and the healing. Because ultimately, at least the people that I spend time with and talk to, you need some healing. You say, well, I'm not sick. You don't have to be just sick to need healing. Your heart can be sick. Your mind can be sick. And you're hurting on the inside. I actually had a guy tell me the other day, he said, you know, I'm going to tell you a story. He said, but don't, you know, say anything like, well, I was talking to a guy the other day and he said this, you know. Because he said, then everybody will know it's my story. I said, dude, let me tell you something. It's the same old story. It's everybody's story. When I tell your story, I tell everybody's story because there's only so much stuff. And part of the reason you're even here is that you have some pain and you're trying to process that, or you have had some pain and you understand that God is using you to help someone else process that. And that's where the whole discipleship thing can kick in and be so effective, because someone else sits down and goes, have you ever felt this way? I don't even know if I've told this story to you guys about being in a restaurant with my buddy and a police officer, a motorcycle cop, was in the line in front of us. You could tell because they wore the boots, and one of our security guys here, been with us for years, is one of the main guys. So I thought, well, I'll tie that in with Pope. The guy's name is Pope. I spoke to him and I looked him in the eyes and I immediately knew something was wrong. So we stayed in the line and my buddy, we get up the front and chatted up a little bit. Well, something heavy was on this guy. So we get up there and my friend says, hey, we'll buy your lunch. He says, well, no, my wife's with me. He says, okay, we'll buy her lunch too. So we did that and their food came, they ate, and we went and sat down and ate. And then when they got done, this man and his wife came over and my buddy and I are sitting in a booth across from each other, not next to each other. That's really awkward. So we're sitting across from each other. And this couple walks up and is just coming by to say thank you. And I looked up in this guy's eyes and I said, look, I know I just met you, kind of something along this line. I know I just met you and I don't want this to be awkward. But when I met you, when I looked in your eyes, I could tell something was wrong. Something's going on with you. I said, is there anything that my friend and I can pray for you guys about? And he stared at me. And you think it's an eternity, but you could count to 1, 2, 3, maybe 3.5 or 4. And he said, I'm under a lot of financial pressure. I got kids in school. And all of a sudden, he opened up. I said, okay, well, let's pray for you. They leaned in. My friend said she grabbed his hand and almost cut off the circulation. He had me by the shoulder. I prayed a simple prayer for this couple. They're hurting, right? They're everywhere. You know how I know they're everywhere? Because they're right here. Because we all got stuff. And we're hoping somebody spots us, that someone has eyes to see and sees us and has ears to hear and hears us and understands and helps be a part of that healing. You say, well, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, then you may be hurting so bad that you can't see anybody anymore, or you've taken your healing that you've received for granted and just said, well, to heck with them. I'm happy now. I'm good. I'm out. Or you've said, Lord, you know, I got to go back in that fire and pull my buddies out and help somebody else. Now, I'm warning you, if you do this, you will end up weeping with those that weep. You will rejoice with those that rejoice, but you will also weep with those that weep, because that's part of the deal. But there is no more rewarding way to live than you'll ever come up with. So go back to Matthew 13. So he says in verse 15, for the heart of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, their eyes have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Like, you're blessed if this is you. For your eyes you see, your ears they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see and do not see it, and to hear what you hear and do not hear it. And it's really hard to explain this because you don't know what you don't know anymore. But if you had lived, you know, 2,500 years ago and were reading the Old Testament and you knew there was prophecy about Messiah coming and Bethlehem, all these clues, and you waited and you waited and you lived and you died, and the Holy Spirit, you know, you were around people that the Holy Spirit was on, and you're like, wow, that's crazy, and he's speaking through that one person, or powerful things happen. But you lived and you died and you never had that Spirit on you and never had that Spirit in you, crazy thought in you. And then you die and you're saved because you had faith in what was to come. Here is the crazy luxury of today. I get to believe in something that has already happened, in a Messiah that has already come and lived and died and been buried and raised from the dead. And I didn't even get born during that New Testament being written period. I got a phone that I can pull up. You can't imagine how many translations of the Bible I got on my phone, with little notes and stuff on my phone. And the information that is available, and the fact that when I became a Christian, the same Holy Spirit that was on those people in the Old Testament moved into my body, lives in me. So I don't know anything different but than to have the Spirit of God live in me and attempt to live through me. You can't take that stuff for granted, because there were people who lived before who longed to see, longed to hear, longed to understand, and they never saw it. By faith, they knew it was coming. We can, by faith, look back. You say, but you know, you just believe a bunch of stuff written in a book. I don't just believe a bunch of stuff written in a book. I believe what has happened in my life is real. Amen. And I cannot explain it other than that God himself has changed my heart, my mind, my life, and is still working on me. But I take that for granted from time to time. So look what he does with the disciples then. He says all these things, quotes Isaiah. Then he says, therefore, hear the parable of the sower. Well, they already heard the parable of the sower. He says, but now I'm going to explain it to you. It always helps to have some splaining, doesn't it? I don't know how you spell that, but we'll explain that later. Hear the parable of the sower. Now listen to this, and as hard as this is going to be, I'm asking you to pray right now, wherever you are, here or somewhere outside of this building listening, and say, Lord, help me be honest and find myself in the story. Where am I right now, and what is going on with me right now? Is this me in the story? He's explaining it. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. Okay, so let's say someone sends you a copy of the message, a link, you're listening on the radio, you're sitting right here today, and you are hearing the word of the kingdom, and you don't understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the one who receives seed by the wayside. You had it for a minute, and then the enemy grabs it, and it's gone. You can't afford for that to happen. Because if the seed has landed on your life, and God is making an attempt, you have to pay attention. And these people sometimes go, well, yeah, whatever, and you walk away, and the enemy says, yeah, whatever, you don't need that, keep moving, I got your answers, I make you happy, you don't need that. And the thought literally is gone, that seed is snatched away. Keep reading. The first one hears the word of the kingdom, does not understand it, the wicked one comes, snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, now you say, oh, it's getting better. There's improvement in the story. This is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Like, wow, that's crazy great stuff. Now, we have some of this in here. You hear something and go, that's amazing. I've never heard that. I'm so excited about what I just heard. And you receive it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. Now, track with me. You come into a gathering like this, you go to a church somewhere, and you hear something, and you go, wow, that's really intriguing or exciting, or you receive it with joy. But then you get out of here, and by the afternoon, by the next day, 2 days later, you're gone. Nothing. You've forgotten what you heard, and you're just like back where you started. He hears the word, immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. And look at what takes you out in this category. For when tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Tribulation, persecution. You go to say, well, yeah, I heard this and I believe this, but somebody pushes back. You go, well, maybe not. I guess you're right. You know, then you just kind of melt away. You were all excited because you thought it was true, but you can't take a little tribulation, a little persecution over what you heard and what you say you believe. There was some pasta manufacturer that came out recently and said that he believed in the traditional family, a husband and a wife. And, you know, here comes the onslaught of, you can't say that's the only family anymore. Let me tell you something. I can believe in a family if I want to. I am tired of apologizing for believing, and I don't apologize, that the ideal, what God created, was a man and a woman in a home. That's what the design is. Stop backing off and no-brainer stuff. You say, well, I don't want to be politically incorrect. Then you're going to find yourself in one of these little soils, soiled by the world, not by the seed. You say, well, then I'll appear to be mean or whatever. You don't have to be mean to believe something. I heard some guy on a talk show the other day. He got on there and said he thought that vegetarians were nuts. This guy travels the world, has a show about it. And you know what? It was very fascinating. He got away with it. He'll probably get letters. You know what? He didn't care. He said, I'm not giving up meat. That's crazy. You know, vegetarian, you know, people, oh, but we don't want to be offensive. We, you know, we need to understand that's where he's coming from. I need someone to understand where I'm coming from. It's my turn. We're all supposed to put up with everybody else's idea. I got some ideas too. They're coming out of this book. So if you want me to be tolerant for your stuff, be tolerant for mine. And if you really believe it, stop backing down when tribulation and persecution show up. Now, if you're being mean, now you got another problem. There is a gentle, firm way to say, you know what? I understand this is where kind of the world's going, but I'm old school. This is what I believe, and I'm sticking with it. And everybody will stare at you. You go, I'm not changing, right? Well, but maybe they're right. What is that? Read it again. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation, persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who, now listen to this category. And this is really grabbing a ton of people. He who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word. And by the way, all these categories hear the word. He hears the word, and look at what takes him out. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. You got any of that going on? And then what happens? You become unfruitful. Now, here's a way to back into this thing. You say, well, I don't know where I am. Well, then let me ask you this question. Are you fruitful? is your life bearing fruit? And you say, well, I don't even know what that means. Then I'd say, then you're probably not. Is your life multiplying? Is your life having an impact? You say, well, it's just little old me. If you can't look around you and see that your life is multiplying in other people's lives and having an impact, something's not working. And it's possible that the cares of this world, you've gotten pulled into so many things in this world and the deceitfulness of riches, thinking that they're gonna make you happy, so you chase all that, that you may be fruitful in the world. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about spiritually, where the word of God is sown in your life, the soil takes, and you are fruitful. And then the last one. But he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So it may be that your life 100-fold, you just blow up. Some people may be 60, some people 30. But you know what the numbers he's throwing out here are not doubling your seed. It starts to go where even you will go, oh my gosh, look what God's doing through my life. I am bearing fruit. You ought to be crazy frustrated if you don't believe you're bearing fruit, and you ought to be saying, what is causing this? What is wrong with the soil of my heart? I'm hearing the word. Why is it not taking root? Why am I not producing fruit? Look what he says here again. They hear the word and they understand it. The word here, the Greek word for understand, means to put together. You finally put it together and you say, wow, that's what he's talking about. You can't just hear it. You've got to understand it. And when you understand it, you start putting it together and something will change. Now, I'm not even 100% sure. I think part of why I'm frustrated is I'm frustrated with myself. Because the older I get, the closer I am not to being dying as an old man. I could be out of here at any second. Is my life producing fruit? Something that it was supposed to happen? No one sows seed unless they believe something's gonna come from that. And you throw the seed out, you throw the seed out, and it doesn't take. Now, fortunately, I'm part of pastoring a church where I see people bearing fruit. You have no idea how frustrating it is for pastors out there who they don't see anybody bearing fruit. They think that if I go and am fruitful in a business sense, I go out and make money, then I come in and I write you a check from my proceeds that I can shut the preacher up by saying, look, dude, I've done what I'm gonna do, now leave me alone. I'm not gonna leave you alone. We can do certain things with money. It helps keep the doors open. I want more than your money. We want you. He wants you. And if you become fertile soil, he hits pay dirt and the thing explodes. And all it takes is one person, 100-fold, and bam, you ought to want to be that person. You say, well, I don't think I am. Then ask what's going on. Say, God, what are these categories? Is it persecution, tribulation, cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, or do I just like hear it and then I'm gone? I just keep moving. Do something, God, to my hearing, to my understanding, so that I can bear fruit and have an impact on the kingdom that I'm hearing about.
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple: to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's such a priority to us. So join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in. Or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellistalks.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
See, my challenge is, in some ways, my job is to be sowing that seed. And I don't have the luxury of saying, well, I tell you what, I'm gonna pick. I'm gonna go through the rows. Is that bunch over here is category one, category two, three. I just want category four, meet at my house. If there's four of you, that's it. I'm not wasting my time on everybody else. But I don't have that luxury. And you know what? I wouldn't want that luxury, because it's possible that you're in the first, second, or third category, and you might change categories today. God might do something to the soil of your heart, and you get a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, not for being some good person anymore or doing some nice things, but for really chasing after God and wanting your life to bear fruit. And I will promise you this: if your life is bearing fruit 100-fold, you'll know it. not going to be any guessing game. And if it's not, you ought to ask some questions, some hard questions. And I'm not trying to beat you up, but if you think hearing me and facing this is tough, wait till you stand before Jesus one day and you see what could have been if you had just heard and understood and applied it to your life and see what he can do.
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you've spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. A couple of ways you can connect with us is by giving us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is through our website, richardellistalks.com. You can email us, sign up to get the daily talk sent to your phone each day, right on the prayer wall where we can pray for you, or even stay in touch through our Facebook page at Talk with Richard. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. So call 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. Finally, if you enjoy the program, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. richardellistalks.com. So until next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.